Chapter 3. Mr. Collins Pays a Visit. Elizabeth spent most of the night in her sister's room. In the morning, Jane was better. She sent a note to her mother asking her to visit and decide what to do. Mrs. Bennet and her two youngest daughters arrived at Netherfield after breakfast. Although she was satisfied that Jane was in no danger, Mrs. Bennet did not listen to her proposal of going home. The doctor agreed. Miss Bingley then invited the mother and three daughters to the parlour. Bingley met them with hopes that Mrs. Bennet had not found Jane worse than expected.
"Indeed I did, sir,"
she answered.
"She is much too ill to be moved. We must depend a little longer on your kindness."
"You may depend on it, madam,"
said Miss Bingley coldly,
"that Miss Bennet shall receive every possible attention."
Soon afterwards, Mrs. Bennet asked for her carriage, thanking Mr. Bingley again for his kindness. When they had left, Elizabeth went immediately to Jane, leaving the two ladies to ridicule the behaviour of her relatives. The day passed much like the day before. Elizabeth spent the evening downstairs. She could not help noticing how frequently Mr. Darcy looked at her. When Miss Bingley played a lively song on the piano, he came to Elizabeth and said,
"Do you not want to dance when you hear such music?"
She smiled, but did not answer. He repeated the question.
"I heard you before,"
she said,
"but I did not immediately know what to answer. I know you wanted me to say yes, to give you the pleasure of ridiculing my taste. So I have decided to tell you that I do not want to dance at all. Now, ridicule me if you dare."
"Indeed, I do not dare."
Elizabeth, expecting him to be angry, was surprised at his gallantry. But there was a mixture of impertinence and sweetness in her manner, which made it difficult for her to offend anybody. Darcy had never been as attracted by any woman as he was by her. He thought that only the inferiority of her connections saved him from the danger of falling in love. Miss Bingley saw this. Her anxiety that Jane get better soon came from her wish to see her sister leave. She often tried to make Darcy dislike Elizabeth by planning his happiness in an imagined marriage with her.
"I hope,"
she said as they were walking in the garden the next day,
"you will teach your mother-in-law the advantage of silence, and if you can tell the younger girls not to run after the officers."
At that moment, they met Mrs. Hurst and Elizabeth.
"I did not know you wanted to walk,"
said Miss Bingley in some embarrassment, fearing she had been overheard.
"Why did you not tell us you were going to the garden?"
asked Mrs. Hurst, leaving Elizabeth and taking Darcy's free arm. The path was big enough only for three. Mr. Darcy felt their rudeness and said,
"Let us move. This path is not wide enough."
But Elizabeth answered laughingly,
"No, no. You make such a handsome picture. Another person would spoil it."
She ran off, happy in the thought of soon going home. Jane was so much better that she planned to leave her room for a few hours that evening. After dinner, Elizabeth helped her sister down to the drawing room. Her friends welcomed her warmly. Elizabeth had never seen them so agreeable. But when the gentlemen came in, Jane was quickly forgotten. Miss Bingley immediately went to speak to Darcy. He greeted Jane politely, but it was Bingley who was happiest to see her. After seeing that she was in no danger of the cold, he sat down by her and talked to nobody else. They decided not to play cards that evening. Darcy and Miss Bingley began to read. Mr. Hurst went to sleep, and his wife spoke a little to Jane and her brother. Hearing her brother speak to Jane about a ball, Miss Bingley said,
"Charles, are you really thinking of a dance at Netherfield? I am sure there are some of us to whom a ball is no pleasure."
"Are you speaking of Darcy?"
cried her brother.
"He can go to bed before it begins, but the ball is a certain thing."
Mr. Darcy had been speaking to Elizabeth, when Caroline Bingley, tired of listening to this conversation in which she had no part, asked Mrs. Hurst to play some music. After a minute's thought, Darcy was not unhappy for it. He was beginning to feel the danger of giving Elizabeth too much attention. She attracted him more than he liked. It was a good thing that the two sisters were to go home to Longbourn the following day.
"I hope, my dear,"
said Mr. Bennet to his wife the next morning,
"that you have a good dinner today, because I expect somebody to join us."
"Who do you mean?"
"The person of whom I speak is a gentleman and a stranger."
The ladies were surprised and questioned him.
"A month ago I received a letter from my cousin Mr. Collins, who will come to live in this house when I die."
In some families, it was agreed by law that property could only be left to men. If those families had only daughters, their houses and land would be left to any male relative after the father's death. Mr. Collins was Mr. Bennet's only male relative.
"He writes that his father died some time ago, and that he wants us to forget the disagreement between our families,"
Mr. Bennet said.
"He is a man of the church, and has found an important patroness in the Honourable Lady Catherine de Bourgh. He apologises for the injustice done to our daughters because of his getting Longbourn, and would like to help them. This is the reason for his visit. We may expect the gentleman at 4 o'clock.
Mr. Collins was a tall, heavy-looking young man of 25. His manners were very formal, and he soon complimented Mrs. Bennet on having such fine, beautiful daughters. He was sure, he said, that soon she would see them all well married.
"You are very kind, sir, I am sure, and I hope it will be so, or indeed they will be very poor."
"I know, madam, of my dear cousin's misfortune. I could say much on the subject. At present I will not say more, but I can assure the young ladies that I come ready to admire them."
At dinner, Mr. Bennet observed that Mr. Collins was very fortunate in his patroness, Lady Catherine de Bourgh. Mr. Collins' manner was most serious, as he explained that never in his life had he seen such kindness in a great lady. She had already asked him twice to dine at Rosings. She made no objection to his joining in the society of the neighbourhood or to his visiting his relatives. She had even told him to marry as soon as he could, providing he chose the right wife, and had once visited him in his humble house.
"Does she live near you?"
asked Mrs. Bennet.
"The garden of my humble house is next to Rosings."
"You said she is a widow, sir. Has she any family?"
"She has only one daughter who, one day, will have Rosings and a great fortune."
"Ah!"
cried Mrs. Bennet.
"Is she handsome?"
"She is a most charming young lady indeed. I have more than once said to Lady Catherine that her daughter was born to be a duchess. Such little attentions please her ladyship." "It is happy for you to possess the talent of flattery,"
said Mr. Bennet.
"May I ask if you think of these pleasing attentions at the moment, or are they the result of study?" "I sometimes amuse myself with thinking of such little elegant compliments, but I always wish to give them in as natural a manner as possible."
Mr. Bennet was satisfied. His cousin was as absurd as he had hoped. Having a good house and a sufficient fortune, Mr. Collins now intended to marry. His first choice was Jane, but a conversation with Mrs. Bennet the next day informed him of her hopes for Jane's marriage. He had only to change from her to Elizabeth. That day, Lydia planned to walk to Meryton to ask after a Mr. Denny, an officer she was friendly with. All her sisters, with the exception of Mary and Mr. Collins, decided to go with her. In pompous nothings on his side, and polite answers on that of his cousins, the time passed till they entered Meryton. From then on, the younger sisters were busy looking for officers. The attention of every lady was soon attracted by a young stranger of most gentlemanlike appearance. He was walking with Mr. Denny, who introduced him as a Mr. Wickham, an officer in his regiment. They were talking together when they saw Darcy and Bingley riding down the street. The two gentlemen came up. Bingley was just going to Longbourn, he told Jane, to ask after her. Suddenly, Elizabeth saw Darcy look at the stranger in surprise. Both men changed colour. Mr. Wickham touched his hat. In another minute, Bingley took leave and rode on with his friend. Mr. Denny and Mr. Wickham walked with the young ladies to Mr. Phillips' house. When Jane introduced Mr. Collins to her aunt, she received him with her very best politeness. She could not answer her niece's questions about Mr. Wickham, but promised to invite him to dinner with some other officers the next day. As they walked home, Elizabeth told Jane what she had seen pass between the two gentlemen. Jane was surprised as well.